Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. Now you're going to see three things, practical things, that wisdom will do for you. And these are the kinds of things that honestly should be instilled in the heart of every young man and every young woman while they're still under the constant care, love, and training of their parents. These three things right here, they're that important. And they ought to come at a very young age so that as the children mature into young adulthood and then adulthood, they are guided by the things that you're going to see here. Now, it doesn't mean that just because these should be given when they're very young, that now that you're older, it's too late for you. It just means that you're going to get a later start and you're going to have a little bit of more to do about getting some things straightened out in your life. But one of the great things about this study in the book of Proverbs is you're going to get a lot of practical counsel from the words of God, something that you can really use. And this is one of them right here. And the longer that I live, the more that I'm convinced these are the kinds of things that ought to be instilled in your heart and in the heart of your children. They're right here. And get these. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. Let's read the passage, and then we'll study. All right, the Bible says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Now let's go through and look at the three areas where wisdom will help you, and then do a little bit of an introduction on what wisdom, you know, how it is that you get the wisdom in there to guide you. In there, meaning in your heart, in your mind, to guide you. And then what it's going to do for you. Okay, so let's look, first of all, at the first benefit of wisdom in your heart. And that is, in verse 12, it will deliver thee from the way of evil man. So the first protection, the first guard, the first consequence of a lot of good wisdom in your heart is protection from the evil man. All right, the second thing is found in verse 16, and that is that it will deliver thee from the strange woman. So it has a delivering power, keep you from trouble with evil men, keep you from trouble with a strange woman. And then the third thing is found in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 2. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men. So what it's going to do is it's going to keep you in the way of good men. And honestly, if you're in the way of good men, then you're not going to go in the way of the evil man. And if you're in the way of good men, you're not likely to get into trouble with the strange woman. Now those are the three areas. The evil man, the strange woman, and then the way of good men. Now let's go back to the beginning then of this particular passage that we're studying in Proverbs chapter 2 verse 10. And notice a few things about this as we delve into our study. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." Well, you know, wisdom is not the kind of thing that comes the same way as, for instance, rote memory. For instance, when somebody says 2 and 2 are 4 and 4 are 4 and 8 and 8 and 8 are 16 and that kind of thing, that's not hard to grasp. A little bit of training, a little bit of rote memory, and you'll have that down, and then you can use those tables, those addition tables, multiplication tables, things like that, to just continue to do your work. Wisdom's not like that. Wisdom is a little bit harder to enter into your heart because, as we've seen already, it takes things like the fear of the Lord, recognizing where the wisdom comes from. It takes crying out for it, like we studied recently, and digging for it, and paying attention to it, and following it. It takes study. It takes departing from evil for the wisdom to really enter into your heart so that it is a guide now. It's providing light now. It actually speaks to you. That's the beauty of wisdom. It actually speaks to you when you need wisdom. Now, I've heard people say what I'm about to tell you. I've heard people say this on a number of occasions and not really sure what they always mean. But I've heard them say, "The Lord said to me," and then they talk about a conversation into which they entered with the Lord. Frankly, I have not understood this thing about a verbal conversation with the Lord as if he were speaking. I think most of the time when people say that, what they're doing is they're having a conversation with themselves, like you would if you were planning to make a speech or something. You're kind of weighing it out in your mind ahead of time. And what they're doing is they're weighing out something that they're thinking about, as if they're talking to the Lord, kind of like a fake conversation, but they're listening to what the Lord would be saying to them in light of the thing they're thinking about. Like, for instance, a guy will say, "You know, I just heard the Lord telling me that I ought to really consider what that preacher was saying because it was something that pertained to a problem that I was having." Well, what they're doing is they're having a conversation with, you know, what they envision to be the Lord, and they're hearing something back from God. Now, that can get you into trouble if what you're putting in the mouth of God are things that would not be God's words or things that God would not allow. So, if a man is having a conversation with himself about something God wants him to do and he is speaking for God in God's words, like things that come from the Bible, then what's going to happen is he's going to be following counsel from the Lord. And that's where wisdom has entered into thine heart. For instance, let's say I'll give you an example. Let's say you're standing in line at a convenience store, all right? And you're looking there at a guy that has just now turned in some sort of I don't know what all these lottery ticket things and all these daily, you know, what they're buying. I don't know what all those are. I've never bought one, but the guy's standing there, and this guy turns in a card, and he's like getting $3,000 or $4,000 back on it. And you go, "Man, you know what? I'm getting ready to get some change back on this bottle of water and sack of peanuts that I'm buying here. What's the harm in buying a dollar ticket? And who knows? I might get lucky enough to win a big prize." All right, right there, wisdom, if it's in your heart, will speak to you because you're weighing out the decision. You haven't ever bought one before, but you're kind of thinking, "Man, that guy just won a bunch of money. Maybe I could, and I could use the money." See? Now comes the wisdom. And if it's in your heart, it'll say things to you. And I'll give you an example of what happened to me one time. Not that I was preparing to buy the lottery ticket, but here's how the wisdom spoke. There were five guys, women and men, that were in front of me in a convenience store getting ready to buy lottery tickets and paying for gas and the other stuff. And their transactions over these ticket things they were buying, these scratch-off cards and things, were really holding up the show, man. And I was impatient, as usual. I wanted to get my gas paid for and get out of there. And so I said out loud, I said, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished." I was just quoting it from memory. That's a proverb.
which basically says, if you are a winner at this thing, you are going to lose the money that you get. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. And that didn't seem to raise any eyebrows, so I quoted another verse. I said, he that hasteth to be rich considereth not that he hath an evil eye, and poverty shall come upon him. And the guy in front of me turned around and looked at me, and he said, what'd you say? I said, well, I was just quoting something from the Bible. He said, yeah, I know, I heard that. But what did you say? I said, he that hasteth to be rich considereth not that he hath an evil eye, and poverty shall come upon him. And he looked at me and smiled and said, thank you much, man. He said, that just saved me a lot of trouble, and walked out the door. Not with merchandise. He was there simply to buy a scratch-off cards or whatever. And he said, I'm just not going to do it. Why? Because he learned something from the wisdom that was in the heart. What he learned was, if I do win, I'm a loser. He that hasteth to be rich considereth not that he hath an evil eye, and poverty shall come upon him. Now, there is wisdom in the heart. And in this case, it did somebody else some good. It did me some good, too. It advanced the line. I got in there and paid for my gas sooner. Now, that's what he's talking about. Getting it in there and actually having it speak to you to guide you, to keep you from trouble. All right? And then he says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. In other words, you actually look forward to reading the Bible and hearing what it has to say and following what it says. It's pleasant unto thy soul. You like it. You like reading the Bible, for instance, more than you like watching a sports program or reading a magazine. Not that either one of those is bad. It's just that you like this better, and if you had the choice between television and a magazine and the Bible, you'd choose the Bible. Oh, that sounds convicting, doesn't it? But that's the way it is. It's pleasant unto thy soul. Okay, when those two things happen, then he says in verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. There you go. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of many times when I've been involved in a situation, a circumstance in life, and I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture that gives me some instruction or light about how to handle the particular situation that is in front of me. For instance, sometimes, you know, there's a temptation with us in our flesh to just jump the gun and really get upset about a particular thing. And that Bible says that we're to be slow to anger. It says that if you can't rule over your own spirit, you're like a man with a city with the walls broken down. In other words, anything can get to you. You see, and so those verses in there that remind you to keep your mouth and slow down on the anger and take control of your spirit are verses that save you a tremendous amount of trouble later, where you're not having to go and apologize to a lot of people, you know, for something you said you shouldn't have said, or an action that you were prompted to do in anger that you shouldn't have done. Sometimes you'll remind yourself that one of your friends has gotten into a little bit of an embarrassing situation. At that point, you might want to distance yourself from him, but the verse comes up that says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And at what better time can you show your friendship to somebody than when the chips are down? Do you see? So there are all kinds of verses like that in the Bible that speak to you. So now we understand. Wisdom's in the heart. Discretion's preserving thee. Understanding shall keep thee. All right. You know, as parents and children, as children, ought to be getting a steady diet of the words of God. And so they're getting used to having, really enjoying the Bible and getting the wisdom into their heart, because they're going to get older and they're going to have to make choices. And those choices are going to be difficult because of peer pressure, because of circumstances, because of not considering the consequences of their choices. And they're going to have something to give them a guide. Okay? So this Bible is invaluable. That's why I said it's so important for us, for our young people. This Bible is invaluable to guide a young man and a young woman in discretion and understanding, because these things are the things that will preserve them and keep them regardless of the peer pressure. I mean, think about it. Weren't you as a child ever presented with something that was very tempting, and there was pressure brought up to bear by some of your friends, and yet you decided not to do this? Because of something you had either been told by your parents not to do or because of something that you had learned? Why, sure, there are some natural responses to bad things. And if those natural responses, that's your conscience, are bolstered by discretion and understanding that come from the wisdom and knowledge of the Bible, boy, you're going to be a lot better off. It'll help you. All right, now let's see. What will wisdom and discretion and understanding and knowledge concerning these words of God do? Well, the first thing they'll do in verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 2 is they'll deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Now, that's good because in the world, we are approached, all of us, by evil men. And these are not always the cloak and dagger type man. I mean, the criminal-looking type man. The guy that speaks a froward thing might actually be able to speak with such flattery in his voice and with such goodness and with such sweetness that you're inclined to believe him just because of the way he talked. Now, the world is filled with that today. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 16 something about these kinds of froward tongues. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, watch it, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." That's what they do. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. They deceive by good words and fair speeches. So if an evil man is speaking a froward thing, he may be sweet talking you. Now, just think of it for a second. Let's say that you're a young girl, or you can think back to when you were a young girl, or that you're raising a young girl. At some point in time, a young woman, particularly these days, is going to be approached by an evil man who wants to take advantage of her romantically or sexually, however you want to put it. So what do you think he's going to do? Do you think that he's going to lurk in the bushes and wait till she comes by and jump out and scare her half to death before he takes advantage of her? Of course not. What's he going to do? He's going to allure her. How? Maybe take her out to eat. Maybe clean up the car so that it's nice and pretty. And then during the course of the evening, he's going to what? He's going to sweet talk her. He's going to be very smooth and coy and subtle. He might even go so far as to say that, "I love you," when in fact all he's interested in is her body. "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward thing." Not talking about a guy that just talks a bad cat, but somebody that may be very smooth and slick. Now, he may talk bad. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of people like bad talk. They pay a lot of money to rent DVDs, or to have cable programming piped into their homes, or to go to the movies. And invariably, these movies are rated because of foul language. I don't know if that's the way it's worded, but that's what it amounts to. Language. And people will speak forward things that aren't right, things that are perverse. And people pay a lot of money to do that. They're entertained by that. They like the bad talk more than the knowledge of the words of God, which should be pleasant to the soul. These evil men leave the paths of uprightness. Well, the best path of uprightness is the Bible. To walk in the ways of darkness. Well, the ways of darkness are just ways where there's no light. Right? The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So if you want to walk in the way of darkness, just go where you don't have any light from the words of God. Verse 14 says, "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked." Now, here's somebody, this evil man. This is another characteristic of him. He's turned on by bad things, not by good things. As a matter of fact, an evil man might accidentally turn to this station and hear me speaking right now and go, "Yuck, that's a Christian station. That guy's talking about the Bible. I don't want to listen to that nonsense," and flip it off to somebody else, some other channel. Well, that's a guy that does not delight in and rejoice in good things. That's somebody that rejoices in evil things and delights in the frowardness of the wicked. The frowardness of the wicked is exactly opposite to knowledge that is pleasant unto the soul in verse 10. And let me tell you, man, this world, and you know this, is just filled with people that rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. I mean, you know, we could list all of the places that you could find people doing this, but let's just say this. If a young man growing up might be easily persuaded by an older man, I mean, let's say this one is 13 and the other guy's 15, to go do something wrong, like go to a friend who has a contact where they can get some booze and drink it, the 15-year-old rejoices in that evil. He's a minor. He can't drink alcohol. And he might delight in the frowardness of the wicked. And now he's trying to introduce this 13-year-old boy to that. Well, if that 13-year-old boy said, I wonder if I should do this, and then he quotes to himself, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or if he quoted, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, bing, a light would come on his life and say, man, I don't want to go this direction, because what that guy's getting ready to do might make his body feel good, but it is not what, I'm not going to rejoice to do evil. That's not what I want to do. He's guided by it. Verse 15, his ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. You got the picture. That's the broad way, not the narrow way. Now, wisdom that has entered into your heart and now pleasant to your soul will deliver you from that evil man. It'll also, in verse 16, deliver you from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, young men need protection from that. Really? You know, the incidence of teen pregnancy and the incidence of sexually transmitted diseases is very high. And frankly, when the hormones begin to change and children become young adults and their bodies now are capable of reproduction, you know, there are things going on inside the body, and it doesn't take very much these days to stimulate a young man to sleep with a young woman. And, I mean, put in that context, he would have to have something very powerful inside of him to deliver him from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her word. And there's an ingredient. There is something very strong that God gives you to be able to fend off that kind of temptation. And it's wisdom that has entered into your heart and knowledge that is pleasant unto your soul, that will give you the discretion to preserve you and understanding that will keep you. You know, one of the things about a strange woman who might be willing to sleep around, and I know that it all seems to be along that context, but it's just the reality that we live with today. A woman that would do that could easily get you in a great deal of trouble with an ex-boyfriend. I mean, physical bodily harm. And frankly, according to wisdom that you would have in your heart and knowledge that was pleasant to your soul, you might want to remember verses of Scripture that are in the Bible regarding these kinds of problems before you get married. In other words, God's design for you as a young man, or God's design for you as a young woman, is to be sure that when you finally do marry, you come to the marriage as a virgin. You say, God, that's a prudish idea. Yeah, but there's a lot of wisdom in it, man. There's a lot of wisdom. You see why this is so important to get that into a young man's heart at a young age so it'll guide him? If you're the parent of that young man, you don't want your child coming home to you and confiding in you that he's had relations with a young girl, that he's not planning to marry. And if he didn't confide that in you, you don't want him doing it. And likewise, your daughter, you don't want her doing that. You want her and him to be able, whoever they are, eventually to come into marriage without having lost their virginity. I know that's a very prudish sounding thing, but as a parent, that's exactly what we want for our children. And as a young person, that's exactly what you want when you marry. You want, if you're a young man, you want a clean woman. And if you're a young woman, you want a clean man. So you'd have to have something to remind you. And that Bible says, "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." Well, that's what happens when a person marries. And he says, simply having fornication will accomplish the same thing. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Boy, that's some wisdom. Now, this strange woman in verse 17 forsakes the guide of her youth. Well, that's her chastity and her conscience and her father, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, which says that when she joins herself to a young man, now she's one flesh. That's the covenant, among other things. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. This can be deadly. This can, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, I've taken all my time on the preventative things that it will deliver you from, but finally, the third thing, and this is really the good thing, is that wisdom that's entered into your heart and discretion and knowledge that's pleasant to the soul will lead you to find other good men. In verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Well, okay, then you don't want to go in the way of the wicked, because they get the bad rap when it's all said and done. Without Christ, they wind up in hell. The upright dwell in the land, the perfect remain in it. So you would want to find the good men and then keep the paths of the righteous. I've heard say that young men need to be associated with good men in order for themselves to be good men. And that's a lot of truth in that. The Bible says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And so, knowledge that is down in the heart, that is pleasant to the soul, and wisdom that's down in the heart will lead you to find good men with whom to associate, who will help you, really, for the rest of your life to stay out of trouble. So, again, I commend you to the words of God. These words in that heart and pleasant to that soul will guide you away from evil men, away from the strange women, and toward good men. You associate with good men, you'll stay out of trouble. Yes, you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.